everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined again by Hashiba.
Hi, everybody.
And today our special guest is Asad Khan. Asad, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Asad Khan. I'm a Principal Program Manager in the HD Insight team.
Great. And what are you here to talk to us about today?
So I'm here to talk about building your real-time analytics solution using Storm, which is offered as part of the HD Insight service on Azure.
Okay, great.
So again, like HD Insight is the big data offering on Azure, and it offers a variety of cluster types or services you can think of. You can have Hadoop for Hive and Pig. You can have HBase for the NoSQL, and you have Storm for the real-time analytics solutions.
Great. And this is actually part of a little mini-series of episodes all about big data on Azure. So if you know the terms you just mentioned, like Hive and HBase and HD Insight, if those are all foreign to you, I'd suggest going back and watch the previous few episodes, because you'll really get to understand some of the big data stuff. And this is just going to help complement those episodes as well. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into it.
Okay, great. So I have a bunch of stuff I want to cover today, which is like, again, this the fun thing with HD Insight is that these are all the technologies which are built in the open source community, especially under the Apache platform, Apache umbrella. And so basically, some of my presentation is about like how we are seeing the use cases. Some of it is about introducing the technology itself.
Great.
So again, like as I briefly mentioned, the Storm is primarily used for real-time analytics solution. So the analogy is just like you have Hadoop and Hive for your batch data. You have Storm for your real-time building your real-time solutions.
Okay, so like querying the data in real time?
That's right. So basically, imagine if your data is coming from your IoT devices, or the data is coming from your network, and you want to go and analyze and see what is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are various examples. One was like people do like windowing functions, like how my let's say if you're doing a web promotion and you are seeing like how my web promotion is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
So for Hadoop, what you will do is like for Hive, what you will do is like you will go the next day or multiple days later, and your data scientist will go and dig deep in the data and say like how did it go and all of that.
Sure.
But if you are running the promo right now, you want to see what is happening now, and maybe you want to take some actions.
Definitely.
And similarly in IoT, like. As the thing failed, you can take some action. You can send your engineer. You can modify your setup and other things like
makes
that.
Makes a lot of sense.
So are you going to talk about who's feeding the Storm? Who's feeding data into Storm?
Yeah, a little bit. I start with my customer stories with this. Less of architecture, more of a marketing diagram, which
sure.
is like shows the end-to-end thing. So, as you said, like who's feeding the data, mm-hmm. right? So it starts from the event producer. Who are the event producers? Most of the time, it is like your sensors, your network, your website, which is actually producing the data.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a cloud service running on Azure. So basically, the first thing you figure out is that how do you collect that data and push it into the cloud. And for that, we have an awesome service called Events Hub. You can use Event Hubs, or you can use Kafka or any other queuing service out there. So the data through the gateway is pushed into that queue service.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, the Storm comes into the play. So basically, the queuing service is very useful because like that makes sure that your data is not lost. If the downstream processing is slower than that, the rate the data is coming, you can cache the data and all of that, and you can replay the data. Transformation is where you do the actual business logic.
Right.
So basically, you pull the data, you write your own business logic. Maybe you have a scoring system with Azure ML. You send the data, you get back the better data insights. You take some actions based on that. And then you can take a couple of actions. Either you can store it for long term, you can empower your the real-time dashboards in Power BI or Protovis or SignalR, your choice. So that like Storm is in the center where it takes the data, processes it, and push it for further usage.
Gotcha.
So again, like these are like I just quickly put together this slide, which is like the common use cases we have gone and seen since we went public on Azure. And again, like what I did was like I took the name of the companies out, but these are all the cases and all the technologies people are using.
These are all solutions that are built on top of what we have in Azure, and real companies have built these things.
That's right. And as you can see, like one of the key things people use Storm is because it is so flexible.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of you can pretty much do anything you want because it is your code running. Well, what Storm gives you is a scale out platform with fault tolerance and other things, which I will go in later. And then it's up to you what you want to go and do in that, in your code.
Right. So it's very flexible as far as, you know, what sort of scenarios you might use it for, what sort of data you might be working with, what sort of questions you have.
Right, right. So again, as you start from the top, like connected cars, again, this is one of the projects which we are doing with a big automobile company. What they want to do is that they want to send data from their newer models, sensor data, into the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then they do a bunch of processing, and in terms of, like, they use ML, and then they can figure out that, oh, this car is at risk of failure, or we are detecting some issues. So they can actually notify the driver that you should come in for checkup or things like that.
Right, very cool.
So the other one, ETL. Again, ETL is interesting because originally, like, people, I saw very few scenarios, but now I'm seeing more and more scenarios where people are realizing that Storm is a really powerful platform where you can get the data and you can do a bunch of operation on it. And those operation could be like you want to change the format, you want to go and merge it with other data set or things like that. Mm-hmm. For example, we have a company, all they wanted to do was that they push all the data from on-prem into the cloud and convert it into ORC format, because that's a very performant format for later on if you want to do Hive queries. So their workflow is very simple. They push it into the cloud, have one small Swarm cluster running that converts the data into ORC and push it into the Blob store, which is the HDFS store for Hadoop. Okay. So again, we don't want to go into details, but just to give you a sense, like, you have IoT, fraud detections, social analytics, all these are scenarios where you want a very immediate outcome in terms of what is going on.
Makes sense.
And in terms of the inputs, you can use any of the queuing service. As I said, like, many of our customers are using Event Hubs, but you can use Service Bus queues and Kafka or other things. In terms of operations, these are just examples. So side lookups and output is important to note. Like, basically what you do is, like, your data is coming in and then you want to say, oh, like, let's say in case of the car, the VIN number is coming as part of the stream. Then you want to go and figure out more, like, what is the model, when was it last serviced and all of that. And that, of course, the car is not sending that information. So you do a join with the data, which is the reference data. Mm-hmm. That might be sitting in HBase or DocumentDB.
Right.
And then you output it into somewhere for more persistent storage. And,
or for displaying the data in the BI example,
that's right.
Et cetera.
The other one is, like, as you will see in the programming language, this supports Java. Microsoft have invested a lot to enable first-class support for .NET. So there's a lot of variety you can do on this platform.
Very cool.
I think that this is a wonderful slide. You can use a combination of first-party, third-party services. You can use different programming languages and all fixed together.
Yeah. Again, like, I think one of our customers, actually, they came in. They already had Storm running on-prem, and actually they had moved to the cloud, but they were running on VMs. Mm-hmm. And the key thing they said was, like, it is really hard to go and maintain their own VMs, so they wanted to move and use some managed service. So they started using us, but they were still using MongoDB. And I think that's where the power of Azure comes in, that it provides you the richness of services that it has. So eventually they moved to DocumentDB because, again, DocumentDB was fully managed, so they could fulfill all the scenarios they were doing with MongoDB.
Right.
But a great example of, like, you can use a variety of services, whether Microsoft proprietary or open source.
Yep.
Great.
So again, to talk a little bit about the first scenario, connected car, this is like a very simplified view of what the company is doing. Again, through their cars, the data is coming in. It lands it through the gateway into Event Hub, and then there are a bunch of steps they do. And in terms of the technology they are using, your entire data pipeline is your Storm topology, they say. And then you can push data into Blob for long-term storage, read data from HBase reference, use ML for scoring, again, store it in DocumentDB, and push the live dashboard through the Power BI. And if there is any notification that needs to be sent, then you push it back into the car. So the next few slides are around more introducing the technology itself. This is part of the presentation which is, like, Microsoft has not built. They took the open source project and then they provided a bunch of stuff on top of it. So this section is purely about the Apache Storm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then what we have done and additions we have done on the top, I will cover later.
Great.
After that. So again, as I said, like, there are some key reasons why a lot of companies are going and using Storm. One is like it is easy to program. It takes out all the complexity of scale out solutions and fault tolerance and all that. Mm-hmm. You only focus on your business logic.
Great.
Again, it is very fast. They have tested 1 million messages per node. In our labs, actually, we tested with event hubs and we have gone up to 1.5 million messages per second. But again, like that is not per node. The size of the cluster is bigger.
Right.
But then we are doing much more than just counting the events. So
sure.
Basically, but yeah, so we have tested on 1.5 million messages.
Great.
Again, it is scalable. You can create a one node cluster all the way to hundreds of nodes of cluster. It is fault tolerant, so you don't have to go and worry that if, just like Hadoop, if a VM goes down, it automatically recovers. The head node, or in this case, Nimbus, will go and reassign the task to other nodes.
Great.
Reliable, again, there's a guarantee that your message will be processed. So I'm quickly going through this. Most of this information, again, like you Bing, you Google, you will find
sure.
anyway, because these are all open source technologies.
Yeah, if you're already familiar with Storm, this is stuff is common.
Yep.
If you're not, this is a good intro.
Yep, yep. I wanted to put a few slides because as I get into the demos and other stuff, these is concepts come handy.
Definitely.
So tuple is the basic concept of the, like, this is your event, this is your single message that is coming, that's called tuple. That is the smallest unit on which you do the operation.
Mm-hmm.
When you combine together, the stream is, the unbounded sequence is called the stream. Then you have spouts. Again, spout is important. Spout is like they are responsible for getting the tuples or the streams downstream. So
okay.
Most of the time, they, like, you can think of them as the connectors.
Mm-hmm.
So they will connect to Event Hub and pull the stream.
Okay.
Or they will directly connect to, let's say, Twitter API and pull the streams.
Okay.
In terms of the APIs, this is the simplified view. So there is some lifecycle APIs where you can close or activate, deactivate the spout, which is your connector. And then this is the core. Basically, every time the Storm has processed one tuple, it will call the next tuple.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you are writing just a hello world, you can just randomly generate events in your next tuple. So the next tuple is called, you send the next one, you send the next one. But this is the core of the API. And then again, you can do an ACK or fail. So if you say fail, it will replay the message.
But can I also say if,
yeah.
If I'm writing the iSprout interface, I'm assuming this is a one sequential stream of tuples, right?
Right.
There's no partitioning or parallel access to it. This is just a single stream.
This is a single stream.
Okay.
Then what you can have is, like, you can have multiple instances of the spout that reads from multiple partitions of the event hub.
Okay.
So that you can process much more data.
Okay. But within one spout, it's a single stream.
It's a single stream.
Okay.
Then you have bolts. Bolts is where you actually do the operation. So in case of the connected car, when I was showing you these circles, each circle was the bolt. Like,
okay.
Get data, modify data, push data, get reference data. All those are bolts.
And there would be different bolts, so as opposed to doing all this functionality in a single bolt, you'd like break it up into
right,
different
right. Ones. Like, just like, so because you want that they scale independently, because then you can even control that how many instances of each bolt you want to go and run.
Okay.
So if someone is doing a heavy operation, you can spin up more executors for that specific bolt.
Makes sense.
And again, bolts can write to database, they can read from database, they can perform any computation you want. And then again, they can also split streams, create more streams. So you can join streams or you can split streams. So they in a sense can become the source of the
okay.
stream downstream. In terms of their API, you have the lifecycle API and then you have the execute. And execute is the core of the API. That's where you actually write your business logic. I'm doing windowing, I'm doing alerting, I'm doing whatever you want to go
okay.
and do. And then you have the ACK and fail. Again, like as I said, if it fails, then it will replay the message so that you don't lose it. So that's pretty much it. Like, I have like one more concept, but the key things is you have spouts, you have bolts. Spouts actually get you the stream
mm-hmm.
and give it downstreams. Bolt do the operation on that stream, and together it calls the topology.
Okay.
So that's like 5 minutes introduction to Storm. Then again, like if you are familiar with Hadoop, there's a concept of the head node and then there is the data node. So in Storm, the head node is called the Nimbus. It you submit your topology to Nimbus, then it gives out to the supervisors. And one more thing is that, as I mentioned earlier, you can go and write your topologies in Java or .NET. There is a high-level API as well available because that makes it simple to program, and that's called Trident. And the advantage with the Trident is it comes with a lot of inbuilt functionality, for example, for merge and aggregates and grouping. So the API would look like a fluent API. So you can say stream.each, and then you can say group by or each, or you can say persist, aggregate, and things like those.
Now, is Trident part of Storm, or is that something Microsoft's provided?
No, it is part of the Storm.
Okay.
So this is what the open source community built.
Great.
But there are implementations in both Java and .NET, right?
So this is only in this Fluent API in Java.
Okay.
So for this one, you have to go and use the Trident API as is.
I see.
Okay, so now I come to the second part, which is like what we have provided on top of the open source. So this is like the summary slide. So the first thing we did was that we took the open source Storm, and we run actually the Hortonworks distro. There are multiple distros out there, and we provide it as a fully managed service. What it means is that it comes with an SLA of 99.9% uptime. You don't have to go and manage it. We manage it for you.
So you're not, you know, setting up Storm on VMs and doing all this
Yes.
configuration yourself. You're basically just providing the work it needs to do and pointing it to the sprout or setting the spouts up to get to the data from wherever it's coming from.
Yeah, you still need to deploy your topology which has the spouts and bolts.
Right.
But like if a node goes down, we are responsible for that. So we will monitor it as any like many managed or PaaS service does,
right.
Which is like we will make sure that your Storm cluster is always up and running.
Gotcha.
The next thing is that, again, it is built on open source platform. And again, this is too small, but if you go to that website on the Apache site, you can see like 70, 80 companies listed on how they are using Storm.
Okay, we'll make sure the link for that is included beneath the video.
Okay. Then again, as I said, like we have tested it for scale. Most of the people who come to Microsoft platform are enterprises. We want to make sure that this is enterprise ready.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't just rely on the open source community. We do our own testing and make sure that it can scale.
Great.
The other one which I will do quickly in the demo is that scale up and scale down. The key thing with Storm is that since it is used for your real-time analytics, you cannot bring down the cluster and recreate if you want a different size or something. So what we have is a slider. So if you are processing X number of events and then you suddenly feel the need that, oh, I need more resources or something, you can just slide the slider to any limit based on like how much you have in your Azure subscription.
Okay.
And similarly, like if you don't need that much extra resources, you can slide it back down.
Is there any concept of an auto scale for this, or is it really more of a you know when you need to increase or decrease your?
So auto scale, we have talked, we are thinking about it. It comes with interesting challenges, which is that when would you like to scale up, right? For some companies, like 1 second of latency is fine. For others, it is not. So for some, it is fine that like how much throughput you are getting at a given time and all of that. So what we have done is that we have enabled the APIs for everything. So you can monitor your cluster and your latency through APIs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can scale up and scale down through APIs. But it is still up to the customer how you want to go and manage.
Okay.
And when you scale, are you scaling by virtual machines or some other scaling units?
So we sell the nodes, and you can pick which nodes you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we support all the way to A3, A4, A5, A6, A7.
So each node is a virtual machine?
Each node is a virtual machine.
Okay.
So basically you can say like, I want to add 2 more nodes,
mm-hmm,
or 5 more nodes. So these are we count in terms of the nodes you want to go scale up and scale down. The other one is like since we are enabling it on Azure, we wanted to make sure that we are fully integrated with the Azure platform. And one example is that for Event Hubs, we provide you the connector out of the box. So okay. if your data is coming into the event hubs, you don't have to write your own connector, which is the spout. The other one which I mentioned earlier was that you can program in Java or C#. Of course, Java comes with it. That's the primary language people use outside. But we did a lot of investment to enable .NET as the first class supported language.
Great.
And as a result, we were able to do the next one, which is like have a very rich Visual Studio experience. And that's where I will spend some time in the demos.
Great.
Then we have the Azure portal, which is the where you can go in and deploy your Storm clusters. You can also deploy your topologies, manage, monitor all through the Azure portal. And the last is that, again, like integration with the Azure, you can go and read and write through multiple Azure assets, which we have running as services.
Okay.
And one thing which I forgot to mention is that out there, like, if the data node goes down or the supervisor goes down, it can automatically recover. But if the Nimbus goes down, then you have a downtime. Not for the running topologies, but you cannot go and interact. So we actually in Azure run two Nimbus nodes. So one is always the backup and one is the primary. And if one goes down, we automatically switch to the other. And that's how we are able to provide such a good uptime for the clusters.
Okay.
So let's go jump into the demo. So let me jump into the Azure portal and show you. So I already have some of the clusters. As you can see, some I am in the HD Insight tab. Mm-hmm. So some are Hadoop clusters, some are AHBase, some are Storm. And I can go and create new clusters. So if I go to HD Insight, you will see that Storm is there. Again, just like any other HD Insight cluster, you can give it a name, the size of the nodes, username and password, and what storage account you want to connect to, and it will go and create your cluster within 10 to 15 minutes. If I go to one of the existing clusters, let's see, like this one I created for Scott. So if you go to the scale, you will see that this is a four-node cluster. I can grab this thing and keep going on the right. And again, based on the number of nodes I have available in my subscription, I can go. And again, at this point, if I say save, it will make it a four-node cluster as a 535-node cluster, which it will be using like more than 500 VMs.
Yeah,
and someone will call me like, why did you spend that much money? So let's discard this thing.
We'll
but
be on Hashi's account.
Yeah.
So is the four nodes minimum? I see the slide.
No, basically you can go
to
one node.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think like on like based on because it was able to go to 500 one to four was not showing up. But yeah, you can go from one, and then again, if I save, it will go and bring down this cluster as a one node cluster.
Okay. But when you scale down to one node, do you still have the SLA guarantee?
Yeah. Basically, irrespective of what is the size of the cluster, the SLA always exists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because we have two, what's it called, Nimbus?
Running. Yeah, we have the two, sort of like in case of the Hadoop, like two head nodes running. So.
Okay.
Okay, so the other thing which I wanted to show was that if you go to go back to the dashboard, and so basically you can go to any of the existing Storm cluster and you click on the Storm dashboard, and it will open the dashboard to manage your topologies and submit new topologies. So this is a great place for someone who just want to go and try out. So
sure.
These are like, we have already put some samples in there. So you can say, I want to go and run the word count sample, and then you say submit. So at this point, a simple topology, which is auto-generating your words and doing a count on it, which is pretty lame, but just a Hello World program. And it takes that code, deploys it to your Storm cluster, and start running.
Now, is this code, these samples, are they available like open source somewhere so that somebody can go see exactly what it was deployed, what's being run?
Yeah, so these are all the samples that comes with the Storm distro.
Okay.
And they are available on the Storm distro GitHub.
Okay.
And when you go and create a new cluster, we pre-deploy it into your storage account, so that you can go and just run it from there.
Great.
And so it just finished deploying it. So now if you go to your Storm UI, you can go and see the summary. So it has one topology running, which has word count. It has been up for 37 seconds as we just deployed it. And you click on it, it will go and show you like how many tuples have been emitted. So in like all time, it has already emitted like 23,000 tuples or 233,000. And It has one spout. It has two bolts. As I said, bolt does the operation. So there is a count bolt and there is a split bolt. So this is a very, as I said, a very simple example if you want to go and just try out the Storm cluster.
Now, the executors, are those basically like, then, for example, there's five spout executors. Does that mean there's like five instances of the spout?
Yeah, so basically you can pick up the slots where you run the VMs, and then you pick up the workers, and then you pick up the executors. So
okay. There
are multiple ways how you can, or multiple knobs you can go and use
gotcha.
In terms of how you want to go and scale out.
Okay.
So let me now jump into the Visual Studio part, and so I will fire up my Visual Studio. And what we have done, as I said, is that we have made it really easy for people to go and program the Storm topologies.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the things which you will notice is that if you are using any of the open source technologies, and especially if you are using Storm, and you pick Java, then you have to have a lot of things on your machine. Like you have to have the JDK, you have to have the Maven for build or some other build system. If it is unlikely you can use the Visual Studio, so you will use Eclipse and other things.
Sure.
So you want to make sure that people who want to use .NET has a very nice end-to-end experience.
Yep.
So the one thing you will notice is that I'm using the Azure SDK 2.5
okay.
With Visual Studio 2013,
yep.
And this I think support is in 2012, 13, and the new beta versions.
Okay.
So if you go and you say the new project, you will see that on the left. Once you go and pick the HD Insight. So now you have the Hive application, Hive sample, and Storm application.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you the really good starting point.
Yep.
So if I go and say I want the Storm application, or I can even say sample, and click OK, it will go and create the scaffolding for me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, otherwise I would be like, oh yeah, you showed me the ISPout interface or the Bolt interface. Like, how do you go and write all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you some nice comments, and it gives you the simple topology already there. Then you can go and modify that thing, add more stuff to it, or do things like that.
Right.
So I picked a sample. This is a fully working sample. You can pick the empty application. That will just give you the scaffolding. You have to go and add everything in it.
Okay.
And over time, the intent is that we will go and add more application templates in there.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we can go and add a IoT application template, fraud detection, and things like those.
Sure.
So we can give you the initial starting point. So once you have written your code, you can go and say right-click, and you can directly deploy it to the Azure Insight cluster. So we have the integration. It will go and query your Storm clusters, list it, and you can pick one. So let me quickly actually show you how to go and build a very simple Twitter app.
Great.
So I will go and start a new project. And in this case, I will, again, to save time, I will use templates. So you go and search for the Twitter template, and you will see two things in there. One is the sample app, and one is the web app.
Now, are these also installed as part of the tooling, or is this some separate samples that we have?
So basically, these are currently in the GitHub, but what we are trying to do is that in the next release which comes out for Visual Studio, we will package it as part of the distribution.
Okay. And this is what you just said about how you're going to have more project templates in there.
Right. So this is some of the examples. The other examples are that we have written a bunch of bolts for operators.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I want to go and write the data into DocumentDB. Now you have to go and research, like, what is the client API, how
right.
do I write? So we will have, in the first round, we will have the HBase read and write, DocumentDB read and write, Power BI push into the Power BI, and SQL read and write.
So it's going to be really, really easy.
Yeah,
just to
so basically at this point, like, what you will do is, like, you will say add new bold, and I can actually even show you that part. So in this one, basically, there's a web app, which is the SignalR front end.
Mm-hmm.
We just created so you can actually see something happening.
Sure.
And then there is the Twitter app, which actually brings your tweets and analyze that.
Okay.
So I will start with this one. So this is the Twitter sample. And as you can see, since it's a template, what we have done is that we have added it already with a bunch of bolts.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a the Twitter sample bolt, there is the Azure sample bolt. This actually just writes to SQL Azure. And then there is a SignalR which pushes into the SignalR website. And then there is one spout which goes and read it from the Twitter. Since it's an it is a template, so one thing you have to go and add is like what is your developer account key, what is your SQL Server connection string, and what is your the table name, column names, and the SignalR website. Mm-hmm. So in my case, what I will do is that this is the SignalR website, and again, you can create this by the other template which I showed for the web app, and so I will just push all the tweets to this page.
Okay.
And I have my config files sitting here. So I will go and take this and add it over here in the app settings. And I will take the page that I set it up over here and replace it with this one. So at this point, I have given the config, the basic config which is needed. Now I will go and build this thing, and it will at this point it will go and get all the dependency of the mm-hmm. NuGet packages that it needs to go and build this app. It will bring that down and it will compile it. And once that is done, what I can do is I can now click on it and, as I said, like submit to Storm Age Insight Cluster. Mm-hmm. At this point, it will go and query all the clusters that I have. So I can, let's say, pick this one. And I can say submit. And again, as this is something which, like, exactly someone can follow these steps. Like, we can give the pointer to these web apps. Otherwise, like, it will go live as part of the VS soon.
Great.
So you can go and pick the Twitter sample app, start from there, and all you have to do is give your config files settings, and then you will have the same app running.
Okay, and we'll make sure we link to that as well at the bottom.
That's right. So the other thing is that if you go and like what tweets then I'm getting, like again, I put in the template as like anything for Strata and Microsoft because that's when we released it.
Right.
But you can go and change it to anything. So if you go and you are interested in a particular topic, you can just put that in there, and mm-hmm. it will go and get all the tweets for that topic.
Great.
So it just submitted. So one thing you will notice is that now this is the one which I just submitted. You can go and see that topology running from within Visual Studio.
Great.
So again, the intent we had is that if someone starts from Visual Studio, they don't leave that environment.
Right.
So whether you are building or you are deploying, or you deactivate, rebalance, kill, or you debug, all from the Visual Studio. So that
makes
is
very easy. It's very
yep.
seamless.
Yeah. So basically, the browser-based thing which I showed you earlier is for people who wanna go and who are in the Azure portal. They can go use it, or if they are using Java, because Visual mm-hmm. Studio will not let you do that.
Right.
So they can go and say that, oh, I wanna go and upload my own jar file. They can pick your jar file and deploy. For people who are using the .NET, the preferred way for them would be to use Visual Studio, deploy it within Visual Studio, and then go and monitor and debug from Visual Studio.
Great.
So when you mention debug, you can't really set up breakpoints, but
so,
you can use diagnostics.
So basically, again, these all big data technologies are much harder to debug
yeah,
from what we are used
so, yeah.
to. Most of the time, what people do is like they run it in the local mode,
mm-hmm.
which Storm supports, or they do a lot of like in the old world, like the print line. So they will console write line, console write line,
mm-hmm.
and then they can see like, oh, I will every time I get a tweet, I will do a console write line, so I can see those tweets coming in,
mm-hmm.
or I will do other logging within my code.
Now, could you run this Visual Studio project locally?
You can run. So basically, you can run this locally, and in that case, it gives you more capability to go and debug.
Very cool.
The other thing which I mentioned is that I just took a standard template, but if I want to go and add more to it, I can say add a new item. And in the add new item, it will give me the possibility to add bolts and spouts. And
right.
that's the point where we were saying we will add those read-write
right.
bolts. So actually, I should bring up the website. So these are the tweets that just came in or are just coming in. And these are all real time. So So again, like with very few simple steps, I can filter on certain topics mm-hmm. and bring the tweets over here. And again, as I said, like the web page intentionally is very simple. I'm just right. printing out the tweets. But again, if you want to go and do something, what you will do is like you will go to the Bolt, and again in the Bolt, this is where I'm saying emit the tweet text. Mm-hmm. You will say, for example, if tweet dot language is equal to, let's say, English only, then you go and write this tweet. So if I go and recompile this thing, then I come back and then I will see like all the other languages will be gone, and it will only pick the ones which are in English.
And I think if we go back to the slide you had earlier, one of the things that was on there is basically social sentiment analysis.
Right.
And this would be, you know, you could write there where you put the if statement. You could do, you know, machine learning or whatever you want to do, analysis of what the actual tweet body is.
Yes.
To figure out what the sentiment is.
Right, right. And again, like what we have done is that we actually completed this app, put it out there, and also created a web page for it. And again, this is a public web page anyone can go and hit, which is showing you real time. It is using Storm, so mm-hmm. pulling all the tweets, which you can, we don't have, of course, the access to the firehose in Twitter,
sure.
but the sample tweets that they let you get. And we take all of them, we put them based on the, in HBase, and take their geographic location. So for example, if you say, oh, for Xbox, who is tweeting right now, it will give you a colored map. Mm-hmm. of the people who are doing the tweets right
Very
now.
Cool.
So basically this was the same web app. It added the map around it, and in the Bolt we do a little more processing in terms of what is the geolocation and things like those, and split the string and put it by subject and things like those, and then put it in HBase. And this is an example of how people can actually build a more functional Twitter sentiment
Very
app.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, okay, coming back, actually I will show you one more finished app to give the idea, because this was more around the social analytics. This is the app which, again, like we have it as a fully, someone can go and build through labs and things, which we built to showcase the connected car or the connected mm-hmm. truck scenario in this case, which is like, what it does is that, of course, these trucks are not out there, but beside that part, everything is real mm-hmm. in the sense that we have simulated as if the data is coming from the trucks.
Right.
So you are a trucking company, you have a lot of trucks on the road, and you want to go and make sure that if there are certain requirements for the payload, like it has to be within a certain temperature or things like those, they don't go bad. And you want real-time input so that if you need to take an action, you can go and take it. So what this is doing is that it is getting the data from the trucks, and again, that part is simulated, push it through the gateway into the event hub. From the event hub, it pulls it into the Storm cluster, and then it sends it to the Azure machine learning model, which we trained for scoring, and then it can tell you which one is on critical stage. So for example, it will say that for this truck, this one is, the risk is critical, this is high, and there is a bunch of other information you can go and get. This also has the integration with the Bing APIs, so you can go and look at the traffic on the roads. You can also go and look at the weather. So if you want to go and see like how is the weather in that area, if you want to go and take any action, you can do that. Similarly, like you can go at the level of the truck and you can say, okay, show me the different sensors from where the data is coming. So it, nice. It sends you,
Very cool.
it shows you all the sensors that are on the truck or simulated, which is bringing the data. You can go and click on the sensor. It will show you the information, both historical and current. And depending on like what you want to go and do, imagine that if you say that, oh, this payload is really at risk and I want to go and take an action. So you can say create tasks, and then you can go and say that, oh, create a ticket and like divert the driver. Mm-hmm. And at this point, basically, when I say confirm and notify, actually through the Storm Bolt into the event hub, we push a notification to the to that client or that driver, and that person will get the notification on their app.
Very cool.
So this is more of like a finished app. Again, the code for this one we have made available all the way to building even the Windows 8 app that we have built. And that shows you more end-to-end scenario.
Awesome. And in the last episode of the series, we'll actually be taking a closer look at an application that combines a lot of the different pieces, just like this Fabricant Freight one does.
Right. So again, in terms of the recommended to like the finish off, like some of the things which you can go and read. Again, the fun thing is that we use the open source technologies which are widely used in the industry. So again, I gave this link earlier. You can go and see companies who are already using the Apache Storm for their real time analytics. And again, this site is about people who are using Apache Storm. Not like Apache Storm on AG Insight. This gives you
everybody
who's using this technology. Gotcha. Similarly, like if you go and look at the Hortonworks, they have a great documentation in terms of what Storm does, what are the scenarios, how people are going and using it, and bunch of deep dive technical articles they have in there. There was a recent blog post that came out of the Spotify, how they use Storm for their real time scenarios for analyzing the music people, like their 40 million customers are listening, and how do they give recommendation. So really good articles in terms of like how you can scale, how you can make it really tolerant, how you build topologies and things like those.
Awesome.
So again, this also recently came out, which is ready for prime time. Now it is not an incubation project. It is the top level project in Apache. And this brings to the end. These are some of the links you can go and use to get started. If you don't remember these things, whenever you go and create a Storm cluster, this is the same link that we show you on the starting page. So whenever you create a cluster, it says you get started, how you go and build your topology, how do you write it in Java, how do you use Visual Studio, some of the end-to-end samples that, as I mentioned, we have already put out on our GitHub account. So you can go and look at the code and use that for your own use.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about this, Asad. It's awesome to see what you can do with Storm inside of HD Insight. Do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. If they want to reach out to the team or if they have feedback, where should they go?
Yeah, they can email me. Should I type in the email?
We can. If you do this, we can actually insert it. So just say the email. Just give us one of those.
Yeah. Okay, it's asadk@microsoft.com.
Great. Awesome. Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Please be sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.